This is gonna be a little bit more of a teaching. So what you might wanna do, because in first service, people were trying to keep up and eventually they just put their notes aside and they're like, I'm gonna go back and watch it on YouTube because I'm gonna give you a lot of scripture that's gonna help you, but it might be too much to absorb in the next 30 minutes. So here's how we're gonna start. Take your fists, two hands, make a fist. And first service, I made fun of the people that didn't do this, so y'all gonna wanna do this. Now put them together like this and put them right up here by your forehead. That is the approximate size of your brain. So just kind of look at that for a moment. You can be done with that. In round numbers, for most people on average, it's about 3 pounds. Now, some of you act like it's about 2 pounds, but it's a 3-pound brain. And inside of your skull is that little 3-pound block of meat. But that is the biggest battleground that you will have for your entire life. Every single day, you're gonna fight a battle on that little tiny bit of real estate. So today we're gonna talk about your thought life. Where do our thoughts come from? And well, before we answer that question, let me explain for people that might be new to Jesus stuff. You are very unique. I don't mean like she's special. I mean like you are unique because you were created in the image of God. Our God is one, but he is one in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We were created in God's image, so we are one, but we have three persons. We are spirit, soul, and body, all inside of us. Our spirit is how we relate to God, how we connect to God. Our soul is our mind, our thoughts, our will, our emotions. Our body is just this bag of meat and bones and muscle we hang out in for 90 years, or 100. I didn't want to cut you short if you were aiming high. Like, it's just, we're three separate parts all in one. It's a very unique creation. But your soul is the hinge pin. Everything centers around your soul. So your soul is the hinge pin between your flesh and your feelings, between how we connect spiritually and in our emotions. And a lot of times we pay attention to different parts of our body, but we don't pay enough attention to our souls, to our mind, our will, our thoughts, our emotions. Because how well your soul goes is how well your life is gonna go. So we might spend time, well, right now we're not dieting, we're fasting, but you might take a season or 6 months, a year where you diet and you exercise and you go for a jog, you go for a walk, you go to the gym and you work out, you pump iron. But you're building your body, the bag of meat that you're in, but that doesn't help strengthen your soul. You go to church, you worship God, and you read your Bible, and you're plugged into a U group at home, and you're serving on one of our teams, and you take an hour prayer shift, and you're building and strengthening your spirit man, but that doesn't necessarily build your soul. It does, and we'll talk about that in a minute as well. Too often, we neglect the health and growth and strength of our soul. So our soul, our mind, our thought life determines the direction of our life. It creates the path that we're about to walk down. Are we gonna live by our feelings or are we gonna live by faith? Are we gonna live by what our flesh wants to do or what our spirit wants to do? Which is why the Lord put the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, and then Jesus repeats it and he says, this is the greatest commandment in Mark chapter 12. But Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your thoughts, and all of your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. Here's the deal. When you repented of your sin and you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you got saved, you didn't get a new body and you didn't get a new mind. You got a new heart that connects with the Lord. And too many Christians never grow in their faith because they never change their thought life to become Christian thinkers. So we need to learn to think better. We need to learn to think on a higher level, a heavenly level. Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord said this, my thoughts, God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. And just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Church family, we need to retrain our minds to think on a higher level, to think on a kingdom level, to think on a godly level, that we would learn to have godly thoughts instead of worldly thoughts, faithless thoughts. thoughts, fearful thoughts, sinful thoughts, sometimes even demonic thoughts. So every single day, there's a battle going on for this little 3 pounds of meat in your cranium. There's a war going on over what we think about. And if you're in a war, you jump into the foxhole, you jump into the bunker, don't you want to know who's right there in the bunker with you? You want to know if this is on your side or working for your enemy. So every single thought needs to be stopped before it gets into your mind. So the thought's coming at you, and like a police detective, you're going to stop it right there and take it into custody. Where do we get that from? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're human. But we don't wage war the way humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. We knock down strongholds of human reasoning. We destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts, and we teach those thoughts to obey Christ. So you're like a detective. You're like, hey, what are you doing here? All right, come here. Thought handcuffs. I'm taking you to the interrogation room, and I'm going to throw you down, and I'm going to put that light on you and be like, where'd you come from? What are you doing here? What do you plan on doing in my head? And if the thought is not God's thought, well, then you just be like taken by the handcuffs, and you take them right out the door, kapoosh, and you throw them out and say, shut up, devil. I'm not listening to you talking inside of here. Your thoughts come from three places: heaven, earth, and hell. Heaven's thoughts for you are always good. They're always godly. They're always loving. They're always encouraging. They're always life-giving. They're always faith-building. Now, we're going to talk more about heaven's thoughts for you later. Earthly thoughts are the vast majority of our thoughts. There's mostly nothing wrong with these thoughts. They're just normal, everyday thoughts. I'm hungry. I'd like a bacon double cheeseburger instead of another banana and another apple. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. I like her shoes. I like turtles. You know, like, these are just normal, everyday thoughts. Nothing wrong. But hell's thoughts, I don't know if you've ever visited Yellowstone National Park and you've gone to see Old Faithful. Hell's thoughts are kind of like Old Faithful. They burst onto the scene out of nowhere and smells like sulfur. It's like you stepped into an elevator at a hotel and you just got crop dusted by the guy in front of you. That's what's happening in your mind when the devil's thoughts come in. Because the devil's like, dude, you're the worst. Nobody likes you. You shouldn't even be here. You're upset? Yeah, scream and get angry and throw a big old temper tantrum. The person you're looking at that you're not married to, yeah, they'd look good naked. You should die. And if you don't have the guts to kill yourself, then you should cut yourself so you feel some pain. These are hell's thoughts. And today, we're going to learn how to win the battle in our minds and stop thinking hell's thoughts. We're going to learn how to focus on God's thoughts, because our God is a loving Father. And He's always speaking life over us. He's always trying to encourage us. He's always trying to build up our faith and build up our hope in Him. And this is where I lose some people, because God's not mad at you. He loves you so much. But some people can't hear that. They push back and they go, what do you mean God's not mad at me? You don't know what I've done. Last night I got drunk. The other night I got high. I slept with somebody I wasn't married to. I got angry and threw a big fit. I looked at porn all week. I stole something from work. I lied to my boss. Yeah, my kids make mistakes too, but it doesn't change the way I speak over them. I always speak love over my kids. I always encourage my kids, even when they miss the mark. So your Father is a good, good Father, and even when you miss the mark, He still speaks love over you. He still speaks encouragement over you. Romans 2 put it this way: do you despise the riches of God's kindness, His restraint, His patience, not recognizing that it's God's kindness that is intended to lead you to repentance? That's so good. I want you to repeat that out loud with me. Say, God's kindness, leads us to repentance. You're not disqualified from a godly thought life because sometimes you sin. God's going to teach you a better way. And because He loves you so much, He's going to continue to speak kindness over you because He's leading you to a place of repentance. He's leading you away from your sin. He's leading you into a place of holiness. But that's also how we learn to hear God's voice more clearly, is when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And we learn to recognize the difference between God's voice and the devil's voice. If it's the devil that's influencing our thoughts, let me give you how you can always, always know if the devil's been influencing your thoughts. The devil always speaks in four themes: fear, condemnation, insecurity, and discouragement. And how many times every day do we have thoughts that come from here? So when you take your thought captive and you put little thought handcuffs on that thought and you throw it down in the interrogation room and you're like, you know what? You smell like fear. You got to get out of here. You look a little bit like condemnation. You're making me feel insecure. I feel discouraged. Nope, 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 nope. Devil, shut up and get out. I know shut up is a bad word, but not when you're talking to the devil, kids. It's okay. If it's not God talking, shut up, devil. Because the devil, number one, wants you to live in fear. Yeah. Fear sickness, fear COVID, fear financial problems, fear death, fear loneliness. The second thing, the devil's always trying to condemn you. Remember, we that are believers in Jesus, we're no longer sinners, we're saints. We're no longer orphans, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're kingdom royalty, we're sons and daughters of the King of Kings. So he's trying to condemn us, to lower our value and speak death over us and knock us down. The third thing the devil always will speak over you is insecurity. That we feel insecure in every room we walk into, in every relationship we have. Everybody hates you. Nobody wants you here. You're not welcome here. And we suddenly feel insecure in everything we do. The fourth way the devil will try to talk to you is through discouragement. You know what? You should be depressed. You should die. And if you're not gonna die, then you deserve to feel pain. You deserve to feel poverty. You deserve to feel sickness. We need to take those thoughts captive, find out where they're coming from, and turn hell's thoughts around at the door and say, shut up, devil. Bill Johnson, for the last 15 or 20 years, has had this amazing quote floating around. Bill said, I can't afford to have thoughts in my head that God wouldn't have in his. I can't afford to have a thought in my head that God wouldn't have in his. Remember, you are the gatekeeper. And if we're in a war, if you're in the foxhole, if you're in the bunker, you're in charge of who gets to be in the bunker with you. We are the ones who control our thoughts. The only lies the devil is allowed to keep in our minds are the ones that we allow. Only this side of the room got it. I'm gonna do it one more time. The only lies the devil is allowed to keep in our minds are the ones that we allow. And your mind is a battlefield. So if your mind is the battlefield, I want to read to you what the Apostle Paul taught the church about fighting spiritual battles, that we're in a spiritual war and how to put on the armor of God. The first thing was Ephesians chapter 6 and 17, put on salvation as a what? Helmet, protecting your mind. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Remember, it's your mind where the devil attacks you. The battle is for our thoughts. So that's why we're taught to put on the helmet of what? Salvation. We are saved. We are not sinners. We're saints. We're not orphans. We're children. We're kingdom royalty. So our thoughts should be God's thoughts. Our thoughts should be royal thoughts. The Lord will always speak biblical, life-giving truth. The devil will always lie to you because the devil is a liar. It's what he does. There's an old phrase that says, how do you know when the devil is lying? Easy. When his lips are moving. Because he can't speak the truth. Jesus said this. Jesus was nasty. You ready for this? Like, oh, Jesus was so sweet and cupcakes and rainbows. Not in John chapter 8 he was. Y'all people are children of the devil. How do you really feel, JC? It's like, you are children of your father, the devil. And you do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character because he is a liar, the father of lies. Dang, Jesus throwing some stank down on the devil. He's like, he's a liar. He can't tell the truth. And when you think the devil's thoughts, you're agreeing with a lie. When you think the devil's thoughts, you're agreeing with a lie. Now, before we go on, sometimes people really struggle with their thought life, and they don't struggle once a year, they don't struggle once a month, they struggle every day, all day, with their thought life. And if you've ever been down like an old country road where the pickup trucks just come and go, it can create these deep ruts, and you better have a Ford F-250 and it fits in the ruts, because you can't turn left and right. You're stuck on that old country road where the ruts are. Or you think about where they plant corn or wheat in these long rows. and they have, you know, the corn and wheat is built up, but then they have that trench where the irrigation goes through in between. If you're trying to drive or walk or ride a bike through there, you can't go left and right. So our negative thinking creates ruts in our mind. We have to break the ruts of negative thinking. We have got to stop thinking hell's thoughts. We got to get out of that rut of stinking thinking. So I'm gonna give you four things that are gonna help you break your thought ruts. Number one is prayer. Spending time in prayer. Imagine that path that you just can't turn out of. Prayer will break up the ground. Prayer will bulldoze a whole new path through your mind and create new paths of life-giving God thoughts where there used to be devil thoughts. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, talking about prayer. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about the COVIDs. Don't worry about the election. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about some things. Wait, hold on. Don't worry about anything. Pray about... Oh, snap. Pray about everything. Bring everything in your life to the Lord in prayer. Tell God what you need and then thank him for what he has done. Did you notice done was in past tense? Pray about everything. Having a vibrant prayer life will lead to a healthy thought life. Now, this is a little side note. Did you notice that it said, tell him what you need and then thank him for what he has just done? You're like, he hasn't done it yet. I'm still in the prayer. Yeah, but prayer thanks God for what he's about to do. Prayer thanks God for the miracle he's about to do in your life. So when you pray about it, thank him for what he's about to do in your life. Amen? The second way to break a thought rut is through spending time in his presence. Just spending time in the presence of God. Taking a 1 hour prayer shift and sitting back there on the couch while the worship music plays and just sitting in his presence. Sitting in the side of your bed where your phone is in another room and you're just quietly just sitting and waiting on God. Spending time in the presence of God will teach your mind to be entertained by more than just television and Netflix and social media. You've got to teach your mind to be entertained by just his presence. So you have to learn how to worship. You have to learn how to pray. You have to learn how to just sit quietly before the Lord. Because when we finally slow down and we shut off all the screens and all the speakers and all the noise of the world, it's a lot easier to hear God's voice. And when we hear God's voice, it shuts up the devil's voice. That's from Psalm 46:10. Just be still and know that I am God. Number three, fourth way to break the thought rut is through his promises. The Bible has hundreds and hundreds of promises for your life from Genesis to Revelation. So if you're looking for and you're believing in and you're holding on to God's promises, those promises will create new thought patterns in your mind. It'll create new roads that it's like a landing strip for God's blessing in your mind when you hold on to the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says all, not some, all of the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God. So the Bible will have these hundreds and hundreds of promises. I'm gonna give you a few in a minute, but it's something to pray about, something to speak about, something to shout about, something to get happy about. God's got great promises for your life. The fourth way to break a prayer, a thought rut in your life is through praise. Remember, if we're talking about a battle, we're talking about a war, praising God is a powerful weapon. It's easy to give in to thoughts of fear. It's easy to give in to thoughts of insecurity. It's easy to give in to thoughts of condemnation. And because I get it, sometimes life can be tough. We are overcomers. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, but we do sometimes lose a loved one. We do sometimes lose a job. We do sometimes get sick. I understand that bad things sometimes happen, and we have our country music song moments. The Apostle Paul had one. I'll read it to you here in a moment, but it's like he was put in jail. Even though he was innocent, he hadn't done anything. That's a pretty good time to sing a country music song. That's a pretty good time to just kind of look at your belly button and be like, woe is me. In this jail cell with my friend Silas, and we didn't do nothing wrong. Pling a pling a pling a pling, you know, or whatever. No, this is their response, praise. Acts chapter 16, 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What? Why are they praising God? They should have been sleeping. They should have been complaining. They should have been getting on Instagram and or Facebook and complaining about it. These guys needed a miracle, so their response was praise. Yeah, I know life is hard, but I'm a praise. I know I'm going through a difficult time. I'm a praise. I know I'm going through a valley and not a mountaintop. I'm a praise. They praise their way into freedom. They praise their way into victory. And here, sometimes we have these quiet moments of worship. Sometimes we bow down. And sometimes it's just very quiet and we just worship in reverence. And holy, holy, holy is the name of our God. But sometimes the drums get cooking and the electric guitars get cooking and we shout and we dance, and that's warfare, because we make some noise that our God is good and he has overcome. It is finished. It is done. So I'm a praise about it. Amen. So the four things were to break a prayer rut in your life. We're going to pray. We're going to seek his presence. We're going to understand and claim his promises, and we're going to praise our way out of it. Small problem. I have a fifth one, but it didn't start with P, so I didn't know what to do with it. So this is what I'm calling a fifth way to break the thought rut, and that is through meditation on Scripture. Now, meditation is not something that we do a whole lot of in Euless in 2020, because meditation sounds like some Near Eastern weird thing that we would never want anything to do with as, you know, gun-toting American Christians in Texas, amen? But the Bible says we that are his followers are to learn to meditate on his word. Think about it this way. Your phone, your tablet, your computer, your TV, your watch has an operating system. It's the basic plan of how everything that happens in that device happens. It happens because of the basic operating system. Our thought life is the basic operating system, and meditating on the word of God will rewrite the basic operating system of our minds. Remember, before you gave your heart to Jesus, most of your thoughts came from four areas: fear, condemnation, insecurity, and discouragement. But as a son and daughter of the Most High God, as kingdom royalty, we need to be thinking the word of the King. We need to be thinking Scripture. Now, if you're visiting our church, one thing that we're doing this year in 2020 is we are reading through the Bible in a year, from Genesis to Revelation, from January to December. We're using the Read Scripture app. So as long as you're here as a visitor, we might as well consider you family. Just go ahead and jump in, download the Read Scripture app, and start reading the Bible every single day. Now, we're going to finish in December. You're going to finish next October, but it takes about 10 or 15 minutes a day, and the Read Scripture app is going to break it down and give you little daily portions to read, and they're also going to give you little videos that are going to help you to understand what you're reading. But can I let you in on a little secret, church? We are not called by God to speed read the Bible. We're called to meditate on Scripture. So meditation is where you take that one Scripture and you think about it over and over and over and over. You focus on each word. You define each word. You ask the Lord to explain to you what each word means. So I know we're a little short on time, but I'm going to give you a meditation exercise. So this is your first meditation. You can do this on almost every Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, but there's a few that are really good to grab onto. So here's a meditation exercise. Psalm 1:1. Take 15 to 30 minutes. Put your phone in another part of the house. Shut everything off. Just be alone and quiet and read this portion of Scripture and then begin to meditate on it. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers. They delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. The people that do that are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season, and their leaves never wither, and they prosper in everything they do. How'd you like to prosper in everything you do? So take those three verses from Psalm 1 and meditate on them. Think about every word. Just chew on it over and over and over. That's the fifth way that you're going to break your thought rut in your mind and break off all that stinking thinking, is through meditation. And it's going to build your faith. It's going to build your hope. It's going to build your confidence. So talking about confidence, when the devil speaks to us, it always breeds insecurity. It always makes us feel like we're not quite sure what to think. Now, we talk a lot about being sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We talk a lot about being kingdom royalty. But sometimes it's like you meet people and it's like, I don't feel like they understand who they are in Christ. They don't understand that they're a prince, they're a princess in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we lose our royalty. We give away our authority in Christ. And then what happens is we lose our purpose in life. And then we begin to feel really insecure. The devil's lies in our minds will create these insecurities. But listen to this. Our insecurities are an insult to the lordship of Jesus in our life. I'm going to say it again for the folks in the back. Our insecurities are an insult to the lordship of Jesus. So we need to learn to meditate on Scripture because it'll build a new operating system for our brain computer to work on. It'll renew our mind. It'll transform our mind with the Word. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters at Uncommon Church, I plead with you, the Apostle Paul saying, I'm begging you, give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let your body be a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice that the Lord would find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but instead let God transform you into a whole new person. That sounds amazing. How do we transform into a whole new person? Transformers. Nobody wanted to finish it? Robots in disguise. How do we transform into a new person? By changing the way we think. What? Then you're going to learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Listen, church, this morning, I know I'm giving you a ton of scripture, but we have enough information. We all have good Christian podcasts and Christian books and Christian television, and we've heard 1,000 sermons. I'm not trying to give you any more information. I'm trying to bring your thought life to a place of transformation and transforming you into a whole new person. We're transformed by the way we think, and that we would think the Word of God. So let me give you 5 thoughts from the Word of God that you should hold on to. You should get a 3x5 card and write these things down and put them on your mirror while you're brushing your teeth and put them on the dashboard of your car while you're driving to work and put them on your desk in your cubicle or put them everywhere so that you can really claim these scriptures. God's thoughts for you. Number one, I am a child of God. I am a child of God, because the devil's going to lie to you and try to always talk you out of that fact. But Romans 8:16 says, it is His Spirit that joins together with our spirit to affirm that I am God's child. Yeah. Number two, I have been made new by God. You have been born again. You're a new creation. You are not the same person that used to get high. You're not the same person that used to get drunk. You're not the same person that used to sleep with people. You're not the same person that used to look at porn. You're not the same person that used to get angry. You're a completely new person. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So if you're still doing those things, you don't belong to Christ yet. But today is your day to surrender your life. The old life should be gone, and a new life has begun right here in your heart and in your thoughts. Number three, you're a winner. The devil's always calling you a loser. Ever since the 7th grade, life has been calling you a loser, but that's a lie. The devil is a loser. He has been defeated. You're a winner. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory. Just say that with me. Overwhelming victory. It is ours through Christ who loves us. You're a winner. Number four, I have the mind of Christ. Are you struggling with your thought life? You're struggling to have godly thoughts? Borrow Jesus' mind, and you'll always be thinking with the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 16. Who can know the thoughts of the Lord? Who can know enough to teach Him? But you know what? We understand these things because we have the mind of Christ. Number five, I have been made special by God to do something special for God. You have a unique purpose in this life. A hammer is meant to bang things in. A frying pan is meant to cook things. Your car is meant to drive you around. These things have very specific purposes. You have a very specific purpose to God. You have a specific purpose to this church. You have a very specific purpose in life. You matter to God. You're important to God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You are God's masterpiece. You are the Mona Lisa. You are Da Vinci's David. You are the Sistine Chapel. You are a beautiful sunrise. You are a starlit night. You are God's masterpiece. He created you new in Christ Jesus so that you can do good things that he planned for you long ago. Some people look in the mirror and be like, oh, I don't like what I see, or I'm so ugly, or I'm so stupid, or I'm so whatever. No, no, no. You're God's masterpiece. Think about that for a while. Talking about meditation, take those five things, put them on some 3x5 cards, and meditate on those scriptures. And you have to do it every day. You're like, oh, I was so inspired, and I wrote one of the five down, and I put it somewhere. No, it's gotta be like exercise. Like every day you go to the gym at 6 o'clock, repeatedly, intentionally, you're gonna think God's thoughts. You're gonna retrain this 3-pound chunk of meat to think godly thought. Like nobody ever accidentally drove to the gym and went in and was like super working out or did 30 minutes on a treadmill. That doesn't happen by accident. It's a very intentional thought process to get you to that point. The same is true with the mind of a Christian. It has to be a very intentional thought process that you meditate on what God says about you. The first five, I gave you verses. I'm gonna give you a bunch more right now with no verses for a speed round, but all of these things have verses, so if you want some extra credit homework, you can write all these things down and then Google and find the corresponding verses and then write those on 3x5 cards and meditate. Number one, God is the cornerstone of my life. My life is not on shifting sand. God is my cornerstone. Number two, he is my protector. I don't need to fear disease. I don't need to fear COVID. I don't need to fear death. I don't need to fear accidents because God protects me. Number three, the Lord provides all that I need. I don't have to fear paying my bills. I don't have to fear putting food in my belly. God is my source. He's my provider, and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Number four, the Lord restores my joy. I know sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're depressed, sometimes we have bad days, but don't wallow in that. The Lord is your joy. Jesus is my good shepherd. You're a sheep. He's a great shepherd. He's gonna take great care of you and protect you and provide for you and give you food and peace and water. God gives me peace that passes my own understanding. I don't understand the pink slip. I don't understand the doctor's note. I don't understand the situation. I don't understand the election. I don't understand the race tension in America. God gives us peace beyond our natural understanding. I love this one. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The devil is going to attack this one in your mind your whole life. You need to get a hold of this verse and remind the devil, I am the righteousness of God, not in myself, in Christ Jesus. And I am his beloved. He loves me. He's crazy about me. God has my picture on his refrigerator. Did you know that? You're God's favorite kid. I know he's got a couple of billion kids, but you're his favorite. He has your picture on his refrigerator. And when the Lord gets up at midnight for a glass of milk, he opens, he's like, aw, I love them so much. Okay. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love you too. You're God's beloved. He loves you so much. You're anointed. Remember the priests of old? They would pour out the anointing to serve. You are anointed by God to serve. You are favored by God. You can just cheat. Anything good that the Bible says, you can claim as a promise over your life. And then you can think your brain to be retrained to think those thoughts. Let me give you another thought exercise. Now this is gonna be a little bit different vein, but I think this is gonna help you. This is a thought exercise. Earlier in this message, I read to you Isaiah 55:8, and I'll caption it here, and then I'll give you an exercise. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than yours. So we understand that God's thoughts are way, 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 way higher than ours. But he didn't say we couldn't ask for one of his thoughts. And James put it this way. If you need wisdom, just ask our generous God and he'll give you wisdom. He will not rebuke you for asking. It's okay to ask God for a high-level God thought. Yeah, I know he thinks at a higher level, but it's okay to ask God what he's thinking about. Let's do an exercise. Everybody close your eyes. Even the people that didn't do their fist brain thing earlier, everybody close your eyes. I want you to imagine the most beautiful nature, outdoor, peaceful place that you can come up with. You know, it's different for different people. Some people it's a beach, some people it's a mountain, some people it's a forest or a lake or a stream, but just the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful nature you can imagine. It's a beautiful day, it's warm. There's like a nice warm sun, it's like not hot. It's a cool breeze. It's just perfect. And then you look over and you see Jesus is sitting there. He's maybe sitting on a log or on the beach. And he smiles at you and he waves you over to sit next to him. And you're like, oh, yes. And you go over and you sit down next to Jesus. And the two of you just sit in silence. You're enjoying one another's company. You are enjoying getting to sit with Jesus, and he is enjoying sitting with you. And after a while, you ask the Lord, what are you thinking about? Like, what's your thought right now? And then you write that down. Go ahead and look up at me. It's okay to ask God for his thoughts, but you'd better write them down. Journal them, and then go back and think about those. See, those moments, that happens in meditation, that happens in prayer. I talk a lot about that when we pray, it's like we're going to the altar of prayer, but that's a church word. It's an Old Testament Bible word. See, before Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for us, the way that the Jewish people would have their sins forgiven would be they'd go up to Jerusalem, they'd go to the temple, and they'd bring their favorite sheep or their favorite bull or their favorite goat, and they would bring it to the priests who would bring it to the altar and literally kill it and sacrifice it on the altar. That's what the altar of prayer will do. It'll kill your flesh, but it'll make your spirit man strong. John the Baptist put it this way when he was talking about Jesus. He said, Jesus must become greater and greater, and I'm gonna become less and less. That's what an altar will do. When we learn to think God's thoughts, we decrease, but the Lord increases in our lives. He increases in our thoughts. Sometimes people ask me this, how do I know if I'm hearing from God? Now, I've already given you the four areas that the devil thinks in. So if the thought has anything to do with those four areas, then you know that's the devil's thoughts. If it has to do with the natural world and there's no real serious life and death implications, that just means you're hungry or you're cold or you're warm or there's a sale at H&M. Like, it's just a normal, natural, everyday thing. And if it's something that's encouraging and life-giving, if it reminds you of a scripture, those are the thoughts of God. But here's the funny thing. Doubt and unbelief in our thought life, they're so sneaky. Doubt and unbelief will come in, even in a mature Christian. We're trying to be wise. So instead of responding to something in faith, we respond in fear and we think we're being wise. We say we're being wise. It doesn't seem like an evil thought because the evil thought is masquerading like wisdom. And it ends up leading us away from faith. So here's what I mean by it. You might be needing God to do something in your life. And you're like, well, I don't know. If God ever did that miracle in my life, if God ever healed me, if God ever blessed me, if God would ever bring a spouse my way, if God would ever bring a baby our way, if God would do that thing, And what you're doing is you're like, I'm just trying to be wise. No, you're operating in thoughts of fear. What you should say is, when God does that miracle in my life, when God brings that healing in my life, when God brings that thing in my life, not if, but when, and then I'm gonna thank him for what he's done, even though he hasn't done it yet. And we train our brains to think faith, think hope, Think life, think joy, think prosperity, think miracles, think kingdom thoughts, and it's gonna create whole new pathways. It creates a landing strip, and you're like, God, bring me your favor, bring me your blessing, bring me your miracles, bring me your presence. I want it right here in my mind. You know, I did all this for 30 minutes, but there's actually a cheat sheet in the Bible. I could have just given you the one verse and we would have been done in 4 minutes. The Bible tells us exactly what to think about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And now, Uncommon Church, here's Brad's one final thing. Fix your thoughts, meaning focus your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Don't miss these things right here. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of our praise. Fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, pure, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. The Bible didn't say fix your thoughts on Netflix. Fix your thoughts on your phone. Fix your thoughts on Dancing with the Stars. Fix your thoughts on Survivor and The Bachelorette. Can you believe it? It didn't even say fix your thoughts on Pinterest. Fix your thoughts on the things of God. And tell the devil to shut up. You hop up on your feet. I want to pray for you before we go. You know, there's something really difficult about the battlefield of the mind. Nobody can see what we're thinking. And most people fight this battle alone. We get into a battle in our mind, and we often lose the battle. Because we're fighting this huge thing that we've been wrestling with for our whole lives, and we don't have anybody to help fight. So here's what you have to do. You've got to give a flashlight to a godly friend and say, I need you to shine God's light into the darkness of my thought life and help me to think new thoughts. Because you're a part of the body of Christ. So don't fight this alone. Talk to your U group. Talk to your dream team members. Talk to the people that you're growing in your faith with. The body has many parts, and you are a part of the body of Christ. You are not alone in this fight. So get some help, some accountability. Men with men, women with women, to say, listen, I've been struggling in my thought life with anger, with pride, with lust, with fear, with insecurity, with whatever. And then that person can check on you and text with you and encourage you. And they're gonna find new verses to send you for your 3x5 cards. Don't fight this battle alone. Because the longer you fight this battle, it's like you're in a storm and the wind is pounding against you and the waves are pounding against you. And you're like, I feel like there's such unrest in my mind. Which reminds me of when the disciples were in the boat in a storm in the middle of the night, and the wind was blowing the boat all over the place, and the waves were wanting to break the ship apart, and they cried out to Jesus, and Jesus stepped into the boat, and he spoke to the wind, and he spoke to the waves to be still. Too many people live with a storm going on in their thought life, and they end up living in fear. What you need to do is invite Jesus to step into your boat. And ask him to calm the wind and the waves of the thoughts that you have in your mind. And as long as Jesus is in the boat with you, then learn from him how to exercise the authority that he's given you, that you can speak to the wind and the waves next time. And you can learn to calm the storm in your mind. I'm gonna say something super profound. It's hard to think God's thoughts if you've never asked him into your life. You've never asked him to step into your boat and calm the storm. Because God is always speaking over you. Even if you're like the hardest hearted sinner running from God, he's always like, I love you, you're amazing. I've got great plans for you. I died for you. I gave up my life for your life. You don't have to experience death because I'm gonna give you eternal life. He's calling out, but his voice is distant. It sounds like it's on the other side of a door. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, look, I'm standing at the door, I'm knocking. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into your life and we're gonna share a meal together like friends. You know something, when friends eat together, they're talking the whole time. Friends don't just sit in silence, they share what's going on in their lives. They talk to one another. Jesus wants to come through the door of your life, into your heart and speak over your life so he can train your brain to think kingdom thoughts. If you've never done that, if you've never asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, if you've never asked the Lord to come into your life and into your heart, into your mind, today is your day. It might be the first time in your whole life. You know what? It might be the first time in a long time. You used to live for God years ago, but you've wandered. You've let your heart grow cold and hard to the Lord, but he's like, yeah, I'm still not mad at you. I'm still speaking life over you. God loves you so much. He's crazy about you. Today's the day you need to repent. Repent is a Christian-y word. It just means turn away from your old life, from your sinful life, from your life that was leading to death, and turn to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to wash you and to cleanse you, to take you through that transformation from death to life, from sinner to saint, from orphan to child of the Most High God. Final verse, Psalm 139. This should be our prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me on the path of everlasting life. Our thought life is connected to eternal life. Lord, point out anything, any sin in my life that offends you, any sin in my life that's leading me away from you. Search my heart, O God, and then lead me in the path of eternal life. Jesus is the path to eternal life. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray for my friends here at Uncommon Church this morning. And so often and so many times we struggle with our thought life. And we think in line with the devil's thoughts. Thoughts of fear and thoughts of insecurity and thoughts of depression and thoughts of condemnation. Lord, I pray for great grace and great help and great strength that we could plow up the hard ground of our hearts and we could create and blaze new pathways, that we would think scripture, we'd think promises, we'd think life. We would come into agreement with heaven and not hell, and that we would walk in that path of everlasting life. With every head bowed and every eye closed in prayer, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, or maybe you did a long time ago, but you've left your faith, you've walked away, your heart has grown hard and cold to the Lord. If you're here today, today is your day to get right with God. Today is your day to screw in a light bulb on our Jesus wall. Today is your day to ask him to forgive you of your sins and that you would make Jesus the Lord of your life and you'd begin that transformation process to go from death to life. He loves you so much, he's crazy about you. Maybe you're watching at home online right now and you're like, oh, he looked at me. Yeah, I'm looking right at you. Today is your day to repent of your sin, ask the Lord to forgive you, and that he's gonna take you from death to life. So for those of you that are in here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, or those of you that are watching at home online, if you're ready to pray that prayer, if you're ready to ask the Lord to forgive you, if you're ready to get right with God for the first time and the first time in a long time, would you shoot your hand up real high just so I know who we're praying for? Even if you're watching at home, just shoot your hand up real high. Yeah, I see your hand over there. I see your hand over there. Is there anybody else? Shoot your hand up real high. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Good. I saw two people raise their hand here. I can't see you at home, but I'm believing that you raised your hand to get right with God. Listen, church, I want to lead you in that prayer. Why don't we all pray this prayer together? Amen. If you believe it in your heart, pray this out loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you. Come into my heart, to my life, to my thoughts. I receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Help me to be kingdom royalty, your child. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me, for loving me, for speaking life over me.